As the Crow Flies by Jeffrey Archer. Read for you by John Lee.
Charlie, 1900 to 1919. Chapter 1.
I don't offer you these for tuppence, my grandpa would shout, holding up a cabbage in both hands. I don't offer them for a penny, not even a halfpenny. No, I'll give them away for a farthing.
Those were the first words I can remember. Even before I had learnt to walk, my eldest sister used to dump me in an orange box on the pavement next to Grandpa's pitch, just to be sure I could start my apprenticeship early. Only staking his claim, Grandpa used to tell the customers as he pointed at me in the wooden box. In truth, the first word I ever spoke was Grandpa, the second, farthing, and I could repeat his whole sales patter word for word by my third birthday. Not that any of my family could be that certain of the exact day on which I was born, on account of the fact that my old man had spent the night in jail, and my mother had died even before I drew breath. Grandpa thought it could well have been a Saturday, felt it most likely the month had been January, was confident the year was 1900, and knew it was in the reign of Queen Victoria. So we settled on Saturday, 20th of January, 1900. I never knew my mother because, as I explained, she died on the day I was born. Childbirth, our local priest called it, but I didn't really understand what he was on about until several years later, when I came up against the problem again. Father O'Malley never stopped telling me that she was a saint, if ever he'd seen one. My father, who couldn't have been described as a saint by anyone, worked on the docks by day, lived in the pub at night, and came home in the early morning because it was the only place he could fall asleep without being disturbed. The rest of my family was made up of three sisters. Sal, the eldest, who was 5, and knew when she was born because it was in the middle of the night and had kept the old man awake. Grace, who was 3 and didn't cause anyone to lose sleep, and red-headed Kitty, who was 18 months and never stopped bawling. The head of the family was Grandpa Charlie, who I was named after. He slept in his own room on the ground floor of our home in Whitechapel Road, not only because he was the oldest, but because he paid the rent always. The rest of us were herded all together in the room opposite. We had 2 other rooms on the ground floor, a sort of kitchen, and what most people would have called a large cupboard, but which Grace liked to describe as the parlour. There was a lavatory in the garden, no grass, which we shared with an Irish family who lived on the floor above us. They always seemed to go at 3 o'clock in the morning. Grandpa, who was a costermonger by trade, worked the pitch on the corner of Whitechapel Road. Once I was able to escape from my orange box and ferret around among the other barrows, I quickly discovered that he was reckoned by the locals to be the finest trader in the East End. My dad, who, as I have already told you, was a docker by trade, never seemed to take that much interest in any of ours, and though he could sometimes earn as much as £1 a week, the money always seemed to end up in the Black Bull, where it was spent on pint after pint of ale, and gambled away on games of cribbage or dominoes in the company of our next-door neighbour, Bert Shorrocks, a man who never seemed to speak, just grunt. In fact, if it hadn't been for Grandpa, I wouldn't even have been made to attend the local elementary school in Jubilee Street, and attend was the right word, because I didn't do a lot once I'd got there, other than bang the lid of my little desk and occasionally pull the pigtails of Posh Porky, the girl who sat in front of me. Her real name was Rebecca Salmon, and she was the daughter of Dan Salmon, who owned the baker shop on the corner of Brick Lane. Posh Porky knew exactly when and where she was born, and never stopped reminding us all that she was nearly a year younger than anyone else in the class. I couldn't wait for the bell to ring at 4 in the afternoon when class would end, and I could bang my lid for the last time before running all the way down the Whitechapel Road to help out on the barrow. On Saturdays, as a special treat, Grandpa would allow me to go along with him to the early morning market in Covent Garden, where he would select the fruit and vegetables that we would later sell from his pitch, just opposite Mr. Salmon's, and Dunkley's, the fish and chippy that stood next to the baker's. Although I couldn't wait to leave school once and for all so I could join Grandpa permanently, if I ever played truant for as much as an hour, he wouldn't take me to watch West Ham, our local soccer team, on Saturday afternoon,